Thank you for tuning in to the Covenant Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the teaching and preaching of God's Word. The Covenant Podcast is a ministry of Covenant Baptist Church located in Indianapolis, Indiana. And now, here is today's speaker.
Upon whom is the strength of your faith based? Where does it lie? What is the fountainhead of your Christianity? Or better stated, who is the fountainhead of your Christianity, from whom all other things in your life flow? When you trace back, all the way back to the very root, the very foundation of all that you do in your Christianity, is that foundation Christ? Or does your motivation stop at something else? I go to church because I'm supposed to, because I've been taught to, because I have to. I read my Bible because I know I'm supposed to. I don't really enjoy it. I don't really want to. I don't really want to be a Christian, but I'm told to be. Deep down in my heart, these things I resist and I push against, but I am told to do these things and I want to be accepted outwardly, so I do them. It must be Christ that is the fountainhead of all of your activity as a child of God, as a Christian, as a person in the world. Anything less than that is a danger. When you stand before Christ, I have a lot of questions for you today to think about, but I hope that you do think about them. As the psalmist said, that we might, in our own quiet meditation upon our own beds, in our own minds, in our own hearts, that we would think about these things. When you stand before Christ, are you going to argue with Him that you judged your own reason to be a higher standard than His call to salvation? That you held your own temporary pleasure and earthly conveniences in a higher esteem than the eternal destination of your soul? That you counted the loss of human friendships more costly and the loss of His friendship? Where are you looking and to whom are you looking? You might say, where did you go? How did you go down this path from this scripture? I went there because I believe, as I thought about John the Baptist, as he is confronted with this question, who are you? I think he knew the danger in answering incorrectly. I'm not him. I'm not him. I'm not the one that in your question there is an inferred, are you the Christ? I am not him. John knew all of this and more, and so again he quickly denies that he is the Christ. It was not him that people were to look to, but to the one about whom he was speaking. Oh, that the whole world would even today look to Christ, the Savior of the world, the Redeemer of lost humanity, the Good Shepherd, the one who laid down His life for even us, the very Son of God, the Word, who was in the beginning and with God and was God. Oh, that we would look to Him. Recently, I have thought of this once again, how that Jesus laid down His life for even me. A worthless sinner, a rebel. As he stood there and allowed them to whip him, to beat him, to spit on him, to strike him, and ultimately to crucify him, he did that for me. Oh, that the world would look to this one who loves beyond measure, who cannot be, there cannot be found an equal to Him in all the universe and in eternity. That any in the sound of my voice would come to the one about whom John spoke. If you hear me today, that you would come to Him, repent of your sin and trust Him and obey Him and follow Him and love Him. Don't put a recipe in front of you. Don't put an expectation in front of you. Simply come to Him in repentance and faith. If you do that, you'll experience the conversion of your soul. The Bible says that you will. You'll find the joy that millions of others have found.
I am not the Christ, John says. He goes on, and they're asking again, then are you Elijah? I am not. Are you the prophet? No. Do you see the diminishing time he takes to answer first? He says again, he confessed, he did not deny, I am not the Christ. And then he says, I am not, simply to, are you Elijah? And then just simply, no. Are you the prophet? There might have been something, I believe, of a hope within these priests and Levites that as they made their way to him, I believe there may have been inside of them some hope that John would not deny being the Christ. Had John done so in the manner in which had John not denied being the Christ, and in the manner in which he did, very unequivocal, no one could confuse the fact that John the Baptist was denying that he was the Christ. But as these priests and Levites made their way to John, no doubt in their mind and their heart, maybe this upstart will claim to be the Christ, and if he does, we've got him. We've got him, all of his followers are going to hear him say it, and it's going to be obvious that he isn't over time, and he's going to lose these followers, and he's going to fall by the wayside. He's going to be unremembered by anyone. They'll have forgotten him. We will have him, and they will have discredited him on the spot for all to see. And such, by the way, is the future of all who might claim to be the Messiah, who are not. And there have been many. This is the future of anyone claiming to be the Messiah, anyone claiming to be the Christ, the most talented false Christ and false prophets that the world has ever seen, from Hitler to Jim Jones to many others, the most gifted and talented false prophets, the only thing they have managed for their followers is to bring them to death, not life. The less talented false Christ in the world, they have their followers for a season, perhaps even years, but eventually their failures are made known and their followers are left abandoned and alone. While they have men and women under their spell, these false Christs and false prophets, they make themselves fortunes. Peter says that they make merchandise of people's souls. And the priests and the Levites, no doubt, were thinking, if he says he's the Christ, we've got him, and he's going to fall by the wayside as so many others have. And that is true. Anyone claiming to be Christ, it is not Christ, they will be forgotten. They will be revealed and then forgotten. John did deny this as well. He denied being Elijah, denied being the prophet in the most plain language. And again, he denied being the Christ. Verse 20, he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. The Jews had in their expectation of the Messiah, they had a couple of things from the Old Testament that made them ask this question, are you Elijah or are you the prophet? In Deuteronomy 18:15, we read about this expectation of a prophet. Moses speaking, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. And from that verse and from others like it, the Jews began to think there's going to be some prophet who comes, that we're to expect some prophet. Not understanding. Again, what they were to expect was Jesus, the Messiah himself, the prophet. In Malachi 4:5, behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. So as the New Testament begins to unfold, we find here in the Jewish expectation of the Messiah that those expectations had become all too earthbound, earthly, temporary. The Bible and God was speaking of things far greater than that. But they had in their minds and in their hearts an earthly focus, and this is an ever-present danger in religion, in any religion.
Even true religion can be poisoned with this soul-killing disease of beginning to think that it is the outward that matters most
rather than the inward.
That as long as I act like a Christian, I will fool others, and if I fool others, then certainly I'll fool God. When religion becomes, there's a few things, just bullet points, 1, 2, 3, that I think God just gave me now, so I'm just going to read them. When religion becomes about this temporary life more than it is about the eternal one to come, it is a religion tainted with the same poison that blinded the Pharisees and most of the Jews during Jesus' day. When religion becomes about men more than it is about God, it is a religion that has succumbed to the constant pressure of our enemy to distort the truth. Finally, when religion becomes about warming the body through religious activity and effort more than it is about warming the heart in a sincere experience with God, it is a religion that drags one down to hell rather than lifting them up to heaven. Mark 7:6, he said to them, these things are true. The Jews had lost this understanding of what God was trying to tell them. They were lost in their own religion, and the scripture makes this clear over and over again. It's like a hammer that keeps pounding on a weak spot, and it is annoying to those that are in this, but it's true. Mark 7:6, he said to them, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" Matthew 23:15, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte, and when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves." And Matthew 7:21-23, the most sobering perhaps of all, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Like so many of the Jews in Jesus' day, there are so many today who are lost in their religion. Lost in it. Blinded by it. Their religious affiliation is more important to them than their standing with God. Their confidence in their salvation comes from their perceived connection with a church rather than any real experiential connection with Christ. Their idea of being good comes from the good that they believe they've done or perhaps that they can do in the future in the name of their religion rather than on being made good through the undeserved change that God brings to the heart. I have to ask, what about you? What about you? What a tragedy. What a tragedy that religion would be that prevents you from coming to Christ, from seeing Him today because He's near. Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote of this situation in people's lives, and he said this, and I thought it was well said. "You can be so interested," he said, "in great theological and intellectual and philosophical problems that you tend to forget that you are going to die. So wrapped up in the religion, you forget what this is all about." There's very little in life that can make you feel more comfortable on the way to hell than religion. There is in too much religion today a focus on the physical and the outward and a great absence of the spiritual and the inward. And that was the problem that the Jews had when they began to question John here. Are you this earthly one we are expecting? Some have been confused, by the way, of John's denial that he was Elijah. Because you read in Luke chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 about John the Baptist. When the angel was testifying and telling Zechariah, his father, who he was going to be, the angel says, "He, John the Baptist, will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedience to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." But again,
a close reading and a right understanding of what the angel said. It did not say that John the Baptist would be Elijah, did he? He said he would come in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And the idea, and even Jesus said, Elijah has come. Yes, the one in the spirit and the power of Elijah has come. Again, we note that he came in the spirit and power of Elijah. He was not in a literal sense Elijah. So he says, no, I'm not. The Jews' expectations had become so focused on the outward that they missed that God is more interested in the inward realities of the heart than he is on the outward actions of the body. Ever the danger of religion. John answers their question, though, about who he is. John has denied that he was the Christ. He has denied that he was Elijah or the prophet. And the Jews now ask him a third time about who he was. But this time, there is a veiled threat in their question. Did you hear it? Verse 22, so they said to him, who are you? Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? Did you hear the threat? It was a veiled threat, but it is absolutely there behind the words, we need to give an answer to those who sent us. And John knew very well who had sent them. John knew very well that the people who had sent them, the rulers of the Jews had sent them. The men whose self-appointed titles gave them what they believed was the power to regulate belief in the nation. It was as if they were saying, who are you claiming to be, John? So we can go report those claims to those who have power to deal with you accordingly. So who are you, John? Do you sense the religious pride that has so saturated these people as they stand there in their white robes and status as official delegates from the Jewish leadership in Jerusalem? If many become lost in their religion through good intentions, and I think this happens, I think people do the best of intentions. They get involved in it and they become lost. And if they become lost through good intentions, I think at times they remain lost in their religion because of the pride that sets up in their heart and in their lives over the course of time, in a sense. It is like these priests and Levites were claiming that until and unless the leaders of the Jews had believed and blessed John's preaching, then he was to be dismissed as an impostor and a heretic. But let me tell you, when a heretic accuses someone of heresy, it holds little weight toward the determination of truth. John does not provide an answer to the question of who he was. He simply says this. Verse 23, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. He says, I am the voice. He does not claim to be the Word, but he does say, I am the voice.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to today's program. Please visit us at www.covenantmbc.com to access our podcast archive and learn more about the ministry of Covenant Baptist Church. Visit us on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/covenantinindy.